For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find me at the Friars Club March 11th, 2022, doing my new comedy album recording special. We're doing video, we're doing audio, we're doing the whole thing. Two shows, 7 p.m., 9 p.m. Kaplan will be at the 9 p.m. show with a bunch of the Patreon subscribers. Go to turnersparks.com to get tickets to that. And you can find Kaplan on all social media platforms at Cap in America. Cap, we're doing a very special emergency episode right now of the podcast. We don't know how long this will go. This might be 10 minutes. It might be an hour. It might be 30 minutes. Who knows? But we are here. We have Misha Kalin, one of our favorite guests. Everyone's been asking about him. So we talked to Misha last night. He said, let's just do a pod. And so we have him on. He's in Kiev right now. He just showed us video. If you can watch this, we're also live on Twitch right now. What's up to everybody watching us on Twitch? Misha just showed us video from outside of his window of what looked like a bomb exploding somewhere. Misha, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Turner. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me back. And yeah, I'm here in Kiev. I can go back and show you what the city looks like. I haven't talked to humans for a couple of days, so I just feel I feel really strange, you know, from being on stage all the time to just being by myself in a room for a few days. So it's good that I get to kind of like express myself and just talk it out a little bit.
Good.
But
I think everyone wants to know is, are you safe? How do you feel? You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like I'm relatively safe. So essentially, we all heard about the threat of the war from America, and most people thought that America is overreacting and that they didn't know, because Russia was denying it blatantly, even though there were troops at the border, right? And there were like training going on and everything, but they were denying it, right? And denying the plans of war. And I was actually in Lviv around that time, and nothing happened on the 16th. Nothing happened on the 20th. People were thinking something was going to happen on the 22nd. And then finally on the 24th, early in the morning, much like how the USSR part of the World War II started, which was kind of like ominous for the people here, because Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union too. And Russia is big, you know, this whole operation, right? I mean, they call it the operation, but the war that they call an operation, they're trying to it's like the big scale Antifa. Putin is being an Antifa, right? He's denazifying the people. He's essentially, what he's saying is, he's coming to liberate me. You know, he's come to liberate me, and I'm hiding from him. I'm like, no, dude, thanks.
Just let him liberate you, man.
Yeah. A lot of people started leaving early. My ex-wife, right, and my son, and basically my family left, and they're in Poland now. Because see, my ex-wife works at the international school, and they gave him some cash as support, and they said, "Oh, it's definitely happening," and they all left in advance. So there were basically the Americans and many other foreigners in the city and in the country, they were acting like, oh, it's definitely happening. And turned out they were right. And so I am the only one who's left in Kiev of my family, right? But it's because I didn't feel like it was unsafe. And plus, where would I go, right? I would not want to go to Belarus and like going abroad and everything. Once it started, right? If I did it in advance, that's one thing, right? But once it started, it's you don't really know what's going on. And I feel like people, that's part of what it means not to panic, right? It's just try to keep calm and try to think a little bit, you know, does it make a difference where I go if it's the war is going on everywhere, right? So you're in Kiev or you're somewhere else. So I thought, you know, while I'm here, it's pretty quiet right now. And it's I've heard some explosions, in the last couple of days. And there's a shelter nearby. I'm on the 16th floor, so right now I'm inside. But when I hear sirens, I go downstairs. But honestly, I haven't had the need to like sleep in the shelter or anything. So I can show again like what the city looks like a little bit, you know. And there's that explosion that we were talking about. Can you see it now?
So for everyone listening to this, we see out your window, Misha, a giant cloud. Looks like something just exploded.
No. I'm not sure if that's what it is, but I've heard there was one story where a bomb got into in like an oil facility and a huge fire started. And I'm not sure what they're doing about that, because when they a similar thing happened during peacetime and they tried to extinguish it, it took weeks. And the levels of like harmful elements in the air were elevated and everything. So I'm not sure if that's what it is, but
yeah. So we should tell our audience.
But it looks like it's been going on for a long, long time.
It's a bomb. Let's go with a bomb.
Sure.
We should tell our audience. We have new audience. I'm sure we'll have new audience for this episode. So we should just tell them that Misha lived in. We met when we were living in China, but Misha's from Belarus originally. He was living there until last year when he left Belarus because Putin was essentially coming in, partnering with Lukashenko, the dictator of Belarus, and they were changing the country to an unsafe level. So Misha got his family to Ukraine. And then Putin came for Ukraine, and now his family's gone to Poland. And you don't feel like you would there be a place for you in Poland if you could, if you did go? Would you be allowed to go to Poland?
Yeah. I mean, even though I don't have a visa now, you don't need a visa. But listen, there's it's almost impossible to get in. It's just crowds of people. Some of my friends went through this whole experience. I just don't see the reason why, you know. If I heard that like Israel was attacking Ukraine, you know, I'd be
you're saying you respect Russian's army is what you're telling
yeah,
us, right?
Yeah.
You don't think they're going to
Russia.
It's not so, like America or Israel or even England, yeah, right? Or someone.
Yeah. And I was just doing my comedy, dude. Like I printed out like a stack of flyers and the war started in 3 hours after I fucking got that thing. You know, you know how pissed I was. You know, I've got the flyers printed and everything. I want to keep doing my shows. What am I going to do in Poland?
I mean, I'm shocked they're still printing flyers. You know, to promote shows.
Do they still have shows? What's going on with the?
Well, no. But hopefully, like from Monday, I'm thinking on Monday this thing is gonna be over.
You think it'll be over that quick? So let's get to that part.
Sunday right now.
Today, we're recording this on Sunday. You think by tomorrow it might be over? But
I was scared shitless at first, right? And then you start seeing these videos, you know, and the videos all look like some kind of like a band of fucking morons. Some dudes on a tank, they run out of gas, you know, or they start selling gas to the villagers, you know, then they get some kind of capture. So you get an idea like, oh, okay, I know what they're doing. They're getting all their shit soldiers out of the way, you know, so they
Russians.
And then they're gonna start sending like the actual soldiers, but no, the actual soldiers never came. My Belarusian friend goes like, oh dude, they're sending 10,000 Chechens.
Yeah, I read that yesterday.
So like making them fight the Chechens? Is that
theory? And that guy goes, oh, are you stuck in Kiev? You know, let's find out how we can transport you. And he's just some fucking dude. You know, he's not even like half a friend. I'm like, listen, if I wanted to go to Europe, do you think you'd be the person I'd be talking to? Definitely not, right?
Yeah, don't flatter yourself, buddy. I got better people who can get me out of this country.
I know, and he's scared of the Chechens, of the 10,000 Chechens.
Wait, so I thought Chechens were pretty hardcore people, though. You're not scared of them?
Yeah, I know if you were, like, doing MMA, you know? But if you're in a fucking tank... And
they don't know how to operate a tank, is what he said.
You seen those fucking javelins that just... it looks like a large bazooka, and it just got... It comes with six... rockets or something.
Oh yeah, I've seen some guys carrying those around.
Yeah, but you see what it does to a tank? It just like it just boom like a toy. You know,
there's. I've
just
seen Ukrainians carrying those around, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and you don't even see there. People are just they evaporate or something because you. When you see the videos where they like look at the tanks demolished and everything, there are no people around. You know.
Well, I read like before, so. To throw some just news in here, I read that, at least from the news we're getting, I read that those Chechens did come in yesterday and then immediately got 65 of their tanks blown up and their general died.
All in
2 hours. That was the general leading them got killed. Yeah. And
but do you know why that it's very significant for people? Because Ramzan Kadyrov, the president or whatever the fuck of Chechnya, right? He's sort of like a... A lot of people kind of argue that he's the real president. In a way, he bullies Putin, you know, or Putin cannot deal with him. He can do basically whatever he wants. And Putin just gives him like billions of dollars, you know, in the Chechen budget that obviously doesn't go to the people or anything, right? So he's seen, and he's this kind of petty guy. Like if you tell him, hey, fuck you on Instagram, he's going to like record a message and send people to get you. Yeah. And he makes people apologize all the time. So you just
we gotta tag him in this post about this podcast then. Get some gotta come after us.
Yeah. And he's like, he acts so fake, sort of Muslim and everything. You know, he's saying, oh, you know where I got my money? You know, like Allah gave it to me. Ha 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 ha. And he says like this.
Good bit.
Yeah.
Fake Muslim.
Yeah. And when it's when this happens to, you know, the Chechen army, you just like it's just maybe it's a wrong feeling, but it's just poetic justice. It's just so beautiful. You know,
I thought the Chechens were separatists. So Putin got him in line and now they fight for him. Is that a dumb question?
You're talking like you've been living in a bunker for the last 20 years.
I didn't know he ever he would trust them is what I'm trying to say. Like he trusted. Yeah.
Well, listen, the bigger issue, you're kind of right in that because supposedly now Chechnya is subdued. But from what I understand, they all internally, they hate Russia. And whenever they have get a chance, but it's just you see, they have that sort of archaic way where your clan is so important. So people are all controlled by your clan and everything. So when you're subdued, you're really subdued, you know, and you have to think about your family and everything. So you can't really revolt. But most people really hate that Kadyrov guy, you know, because I hope to God he doesn't represent the majority of Chechens because that guy is worse than Putin in many ways, you know.
And what about what you've seen, just literally you've observed, besides that mushroom cloud out the window? Have you heard bombs being dropped? Have you heard guns being shot?
But it's just I'm on the right bank and I'm kind of south, you know, and
of the city.
I mean, from what I they had a the region that I live in, it's kind of it's on the outskirts, but not like way in the way out there, but enough. Basically, it's a pretty lucky spot because most of the action is happening on the left bank. And there's a whole river they have to cross in order to start fighting, right? But there were some places because they would send out tanks and they call them sort of like the spy or what would you call that? Sort of like a basically a couple of tanks or just a small group, and they
a convoy
check out the situation first. Yeah, like, and then they bring in the massive sort of troops.
Freedom convoy. Yeah,
yeah. I know some of these terms. Well, first of all, I'm very inadequate to speak about these things. So
well, no, you're in the middle of it. There's no one the more adequate than the person who's sitting in the middle of it.
Did you, cause you, I felt like you, were you caught off, were the people in Kiev ready? You said that, cause I feel like we left, we got the impression that if there was fighting, it wouldn't be in Kiev. It would be on the eastern part of the country. It wouldn't come into the cities.
It'd be in Donbass region. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah,
he wanted
that's what we thought from our multiple podcasts.
Yeah. Well, that's what, remember the last podcast I was saying, I mean, maybe something was gonna go on in those places, but I could not at that point even imagine a full scale invasion like that. And that's what I was saying about those javelins and about those Turkish drones. And exactly what I was sort of hoping wasn't going to happen, happened. Mm. But that's exactly what I was kind of talking about, is that they seemed like they were oblivious. They thought that they were going to come in and Ukrainians would welcome them with open arms. And but that's not what happened.
They thought people you were waiting for them to liberate you.
Yes, liberate exactly. Us from this comedian leader of ours. Get this guy out.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. So you think they genuinely were that stupid? They didn't know that you didn't want their help.
I think, you know, it's like you probably have those friends, right? They're just like delusional, you know, they're dating the wrong person or like they're just a shit comic. And you can just be like, dude, it's not for you. You know?
Is this live? Should we? No,
this is live.
Yeah, no. Who are we gonna name? No. But yeah, exactly. Putin's delusional. It's like he thought of them as like they're going to leave that guy. That guy's a douchebag. They're going to leave him for me. And
yeah, it's like these people who have never tried comedy. They're like, dude, I bet if I just went up on stage, I would bury Louis C.K. Yeah. You know, and then go up that's Putin. He's like, oh, that's what it's like. Oh my god.
Then they bomb hard.
Sorry, guys. Yeah.
So
that's what it looks like.
Have you seen Russian soldiers walking around? Or they're not even in your? They haven't made it.
No, are you kidding? No.
Because I just want to tell you what we read, and you can tell us what the facts are. I've read that the Russian soldiers are in Kiev, and I've seen video of people like go up to them, old grandmas, and tell them to fuck themselves and stuff like that.
No, that's not Kiev. That's
that wasn't Kiev. I think that was opposite.
So essentially, what happens? They might go into a small village, you know, and then they get fucked in a neighboring larger town, because they started the attack not from one front, and everybody was banking on that Donbass front, right?
Yeah,
but they started from other parts, and Ukrainian troops couldn't control all the
they were coming at you from the north, the south, and the east, and possibly what's in the west, what's to the west of Ukraine, is that Chechnya over there?
No, but I'm really hazy when it comes to a geography like that, you know.
Yeah.
Either
way, another really came at you north, south, and east.
Right, and the big point is that shots were fired from Belarus as well. And actually, while we're talking, we're waiting for a decision from Lukashenko to say whether he's gonna start an active part. Which, having said that, Belarus has already been actively. But I'm saying, I think for now that we haven't sent the troops. And by we, I mean Lukashenko, of course. I would like to separate myself from. Basically, it's like this. You know, if a Belarusian steps on Ukrainian soil, he's my enemy. You know,
So what you're talking about is the Belarusian president or dictator Lukashenko might send
troops. He's
support.
Not even the president. Remember that whole talk, like
dictator.
The lead, not even head of state,
like
right now.
Usurper in chief. Remember that
usurper in chief who has control of the military, though. Unfortunately.
He might. Right. He might be sending in troops from Belarus to support Putin, not to help Ukraine.
But he had a phone call with Zelensky, the leader of Ukraine, I saw earlier today. So I don't know if that was to keep him neutral or if anything came of that. I don't know if
Well, exactly. As we were beginning this podcast, I was expecting something. So it might be out like right about now or something.
Well, if it comes out, let us know. Have you seen Russian planes flying over? Anything like that?
You hear things and you don't know if it's Russian or not Russian. So every time I hear like a plane go by, I just assume it's Ukrainian.
Yeah. You know? And so the Russians say they're not bombing or they're only targeting military locations.
Yeah.
Any information on that?
So, yeah. I don't know if they're just stupid or evil. You know, I don't know if they hit the civilian locations because they're just dumb and they can't do their job right, or they're doing it on purpose, but to look like it's an accident, you know, but just to kind of put, terrorize the people, you know, because listen, that apartment building looks a lot like mine. I'll be honest with you. And,
wait, so they are hitting, civilian locations.
Yeah, but if you look at Kyiv, you know, Kyiv is huge, right? So just the chances of it hitting your, right, if there's not things going on, but anything can happen.
Wait, what? That's a crazy way to look at it. I know you did that analogy last time about you could get hit by a car and you could die at any moment in life, but...
Wait, so you're saying that you feel safe because, yes, they're bombing civilian locations in Kyiv.
Possibly locations.
But there's a lot of potential spots. Well,
think about this.
How lucky are you that they would bomb you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what makes this building so special?
I'm saying, if you were here, you know, you would see that it's a huge apartment complex. Even if they had their entire goal was to just get me, it would be hard.
It does seem like it might be their goal.
Accidentally, yeah. But kill me accidentally is even harder.
So, this
whole war, I mean, they went into Belarus, we know.
They went to get you in Belarus. You fled to Ukraine. Now they're coming for you in Ukraine.
Yeah. But what you were asking earlier, you know, did we see Russian soldiers? This is what it looks like. You know, I get news that in my region, but on the other side of it, it's kind of far away. You know, they saw the parachute.
Paratroopers,
and it's like, I don't know how many of them, 10, 20, whatever, dude, they wouldn't even hit the ground in Kyiv. Do you understand?
Yeah, they get shot down.
Yeah.
By those bazooka guys.
If you look down, downstairs, there's guys just patrolling the area, and there's actual like inner city warfare going on, and everybody's prepared. They handed out 25,000 or more machine guns, and that's basically what the government just gave to the people, not counting what people already had.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So, first of all, you and I talked about this yesterday, but just for our audience, do you have a gun? Did you get a gun?
No. Well, that's the thing. I'm Belarusian.
They don't trust you.
Yeah, they don't trust me. And plus, they're not giving guns just to anybody. Even my Ukrainian friends, they went to get a gun, and not all of those guys got it. Because you either have to have like your military, basically the certificate that you've completed military training. And there are prerequisites, not just any.
They have no Second Amendment there, apparently. You can't just get a gun. You got
it. Yeah. Well, hey, maybe there's a way of doing it. Yeah. You know, right.
Do you want to, can you get one like black market though, or something to protect yourself? Oh. Or have you looked into that? Or
I'm sure it could. Yeah. Yeah. And they sell like knives and whatever air, just pneumatic guns, but pneumatic handguns. They sell them in the subway, you know?
Oh, wow. In the subway.
Wait, are you riding the subway these days? Because it's safer, actually, underground.
No transport is working. You saw what the city looks like. It's just completely dead. Just.
So do you have any friends, Misha, who have gotten guns and are now, they're not military people, but all of a sudden they are now? Like they're going out there and patrolling?
Yes. People like that. Just people volunteering. And also people just staying out of other people's way. So yeah, everybody just kind of.
So you have people like protecting your apartment complex. Are those civilians? Mm-hmm. Are those like the civilians that got guns and they're just kind of like, let's form a, what do you call those?
Militia.
And we'll go hang outside and protect the building.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Those anti-tank things that I see where they're just blowing, like if a tank came by, they just.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that they have the javelins, but they do really well with Molotov cocktails. So yeah, that kind of takes me back to when all that shit was going down in Belarus. Now that I've seen what can actually happen, like you should just not be afraid. Just go and just take it, you know, if you disagree. But it's just, you have to feel the spirit, because here there's just, I mean, you should, I feel it too. You know, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's just like it's this righteous indignation, right? People are, it's completely black and white, right? Even right. You look at just uncensored images of people just dead and just fried on the ground. You have zero sadness in your heart. You know, you just feel pure joy. And
you mean for the Russian soldiers dead?
Yeah. And
well, they're coming there trying to kill you all. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, kill or be killed. Yeah.
And they did it in such a sort of brazen way. You know, it's like, hey, fuck you. You know,
it feels very old school. Like, I didn't even think these type of wars would ever happen again.
I thought they were all going to be
cyber wars and drones.
I know. That's exactly my feelings. And how dumb do you have to be just to this? And yeah, again, if you watch those videos, they just have these old cars and just all the machinery. It seems like it's from the 20th century. What's the point of that, you know? And it feels like they've been flexing for years, and everybody thinks that Russia is such a just this huge military nation. But I bet even if they get out their nukes, they've been sitting around for like 70 years, just fucking rusting away.
Don't give them ideas.
We don't want to call their bluff on that. I know you
listen. No. But I do want to talk about it. You know, I have a notebook that I haven't used for 2 years. I can't even fucking open it. You know,
you can't read what you wrote. You had some great bit there. It's
they lost
now,
the lock. To the key. They lost the key to the lock. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, dude. If they launch that thing, it's gonna blow half of Moscow. Right. I'm not.
But if they have 100 nukes and one of them works, you know, we just gotta let's not.
I don't think they do. I think it's all fucking fake. Because they've had precedents, you know, they would show some kind of, they would show an American Black Hawk helicopter or something. And they say like, hey, this is us killing, Syrians or something, which it wasn't, you know, and then
they're using American Hollywood movies.
Which, like, yeah, exactly.
Black Hawk
they're
down.
They're showing Apocalypse Now.
Saving Private Ryan. This is our storming. But and what about like day to day though? Are you able to go like buy groceries or how do you eat? How do you live? What is?
Yeah, basically. Well, they blocked every non-citizen's card, and especially now that Belarus is pretty much an enemy as well. Which that's why this really saddens me. You know, because we really were accepted in Ukraine and shown with love, right? And care was shown to us. So not that I feel like Belarusian people are to blame, but I think it's very important what happens exactly now. All right. So if Lukashenko makes a decision to send troops, Belarusian troops to Ukraine, and they just don't go, I think it's going to be a really good move on our side. But anyway, listen, I don't know how it's going to unfold, but I feel like if at first I was just thinking, I just hope we survive. Now I'm feeling like, oh my God, this might be what we've been waiting for. You know, this might be the end of Putin and consequently Lukashenko. And it's the beginning of a whole new era worldwide, you know?
I mean, it could be, it's could be a classic, like Putin overplaying his hand. If Putin gets destroyed here, then what's not to say the rest, you know, somebody could jump in, the rest of the world could jump in. But so actually on that topic, first of all, I want to say like the numbers of people we've seen media, some of it says everyone's fleeing. And initially it was like everyone's fleeing to Poland. 100,000 people have left to Poland. But then recently we're hearing like everyone's staying, and like Zelensky, the president, put out that video with him and his top officials being like, hey, we're all here. We're in Kiev. We're getting guns. We're fighting. And then the mayor of Kiev is one of the Klitschko brothers, the boxers. He says he has a gun. He's fighting. I think the was it like Miss Ukraine has there's a she made a video of her with like this gigantic like gun. And she's like, I'm ready to shoot Russians. So it feels like a lot of people have stayed. Is that the feeling you get?
Yeah, that was the feeling from the very beginning. It actually surprised me when some of my Belarusian friends were like, oh, we're leaving, you know? And they were not even people with kids. I understand families, right? And I mean, my son and, you know, my goddaughter who's four, you know, you understand I wouldn't want them to go through this. So of course, if you're getting families out of harm's way, I think it's, it has to be a little bit distributed. You know, family should be out of harm's way, right? But, you know, why would I leave? You know, I mean, think about it, what that means. If I'm leaving, it means I really think that Russia is going to take or like level the city and kill civilians. You know, I mean, if you're just following the normal safety rules, you're probably going to avoid the risks. You know, I mean, if you look how many, the probability of you dying, you know, in my situation.
You always go back to this.
He's such a, he's a probability man at heart. He's a real analytics guy.
I'm not actually, I'm like that lady in that anecdote, you know, like what are the chances of seeing a dinosaur? She goes like it's 50-50, you know, you either see him or you don't. And, that's kind of what it is, you know, from, you know, I'm far from math and all these like probability stuff. You know, if it happens to you, it happens to you. If it doesn't happen to you, it doesn't happen to you. But all I'm saying is like, it's just when you start projecting and kind of evaluating things, that's the conclusion that I came to, you know, that I was not really in danger. That's all I can say, you know, so I really don't understand why, you know, grown men would try to flee because, I mean, they were just creating different situations on the border. Plus, you don't know where the Russian troops are coming from. And, you know, what's the point of you going to another, like a lot of people were going to Lviv and Lviv was attacked too, you know?
So, yeah, you might just run right into them.
Yes.
What do people think of the response from the rest of the world? So it has been, we're sending you money, but it's so far we're not sending troops.
But yesterday, Europe just cut off, I believe, is going to cut off Russian, like the banking systems.
Yeah. In terms of sanctions and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of like, you know, helping with force and all of that. I think the situations were like, they were asking for NATO's help and then they were starting kicking ass. Like, whatever, you know, we'll do it, right? That's the feeling that I got.
I mean, so like the U.S. sent $350 million. Japan just committed $100 million. Right. Countries are sending money.
Now that they're kicking ass, everybody's sending shit, you know? That should have been done.
That should have been done a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right? And all the sanctions, you know, like, I mean, those are going to hurt Russia for decades. You know, that's insane. You
can't unroll that shit. Heard, and when I say I heard, I mean, I was talking to my brother and he said this, but
Asian baby face.
Starting on Monday, he said, when the stock market opens, like the value of all these oligarchs' businesses are like going down the tubes.
Yeah.
Right. And aren't they going to turn the screws on Germany, Putin?
Yeah. Germany's not going to get gas from them anymore. So that whole pipeline.
Yeah. The pipeline's done.
It's scrapped. Yeah. And, basically, Visa and MasterCard is not going to work there soon. No chips, microchips are not going to be available. And that the implications of that are just, they go on forever, you know, because they use those things everywhere. You know, the washing machine and some kind of ballistic missile, you know.
Oh, so any microchip they have, they're like, they've got.
It's like Y2K
down.
Is happening to them now.
Getting Y2K.
Getting Y2K.
But they Y2K themselves.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's the thing. Is it really worth it? And, you know, I mean, I don't know how Putin's going to have to save face somehow. Obviously, he can still have a great military victory. He can still win.
It has to be. It has to be. It's his last year. I mean, let's all believe it. You know, let's fucking will it to happening because I don't see it happening any other way.
The other thing I read is Elon Musk has Starlink up, which is like his satellite internet thing.
Yeah.
And he's offered,
it work?
I don't know exactly how
tried.
It works. You did try. I wanted to ask you about that because he
said it doesn't show up as a thing or anything.
So it's BS. He said he was giving it free to all Ukrainians just in case Russia tried to shut down your internet. You could use his. But I wanted to ask you. So you've tried it and nothing?
I tried it maybe a minute after I saw it. Maybe I should try it again because, it's been a few hours. Maybe it's working now.
Wait, is it new internet? He just gave them another internet?
No. Have you heard of Starlink, Kaplan?
No, I don't
it's
know.
Like Wi-Fi I'm a boomer. Planet, right?
Oh, yeah. So Elon Musk, this is one of his projects, besides like drilling to the center of the Earth and all that stuff.
He's going to Mars. And yeah,
he has set up like a satellite internet that should be able to work worldwide. So
you can't
future,
shut it down, basically.
Yeah, you can't shut it down, but he has it already going, and he said right now he's offering it to all Ukrainians so that in case Russia tries to shut down their internet, he won't let him. Guys, we should do, let's just reset this real quick because we do have people on Twitch. We're doing this live for the first time ever. We do have people joining late. So Misha Kalin is a stand-up comedian originally from Belarus, now in the Ukraine. He fled Belarus last summer with his family to get to Ukraine to escape Putin, and Putin now has found him. And
there's some great comments on the Twitch, by the way.
Putin's attacking Ukraine. We are the Lost in America podcast. We put out a show interviewing comedians around the world, every single in a different country in the world, following the politics, the global news events happening in their country. We do that every single week. On Tuesdays, you can subscribe to us, lostinamericapod.com. All major podcast players, we're available. I guess we're going to put this out as a podcast. So let's say, and now a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Always be plugging.
Always be plugging.
We don't work for free. We take advantage of all our rates go up with the sponsors when we have a war zone correspondent. So,
I mean, might as well. Yeah. So Misha, what would make you, I don't know. So on the news locally, do you feel like you can trust it? So I'm following the Kiev English language newspaper on Twitter, and I highly recommend it. It has updates like every 2 or 3 minutes, but it also will have numbers that says like, oh, we've killed 4,500 Russian troops, which could be true, but it's also like you want to get that verified some way.
Right. It's a good kind of propaganda, well, perhaps.
Yeah, but on the other side, on the Russian side, they say it's zero.
Oh, they say zero.
Somewhere between 0 and 4,500.
So it's just so everyone can follow. It's the Kiev Independent, KYIV Independent, and it's pretty good. They do. They had an update 36 seconds ago from a Russian oligarch who is asking Russia to stand down. So Russian oligarchs are one by one now because their businesses are going under.
I mean, one guy lost the owner of the Chelsea football team had to give up possession of his team.
Yeah,
that's a big loss.
This is happening worldwide. And so I know in New York, they're trying to seize the high end apartments that are owned by Russian oligarchs right now in New York City.
Yeah,
they should give them to the people.
Right now, it's a misnomer. A Russian oligarch during Putin right now is a misnomer. There aren't really oligarchs. There were oligarchs, much like Berezovsky, like back in the 90s, you know, that actually controlled Russia, and the president was one of the players, right? And right now, all these business guys, they don't make money from their business, right? None of their businesses are actually making money. They're making money on the government projects that they're just basically, they get a budget of however many billions and they use 30% and they take the rest. That's why the corruption has been eaten away, and it shows in the army and in all the other areas. And everybody just shows Putin the picture that's like, oh, we're the best at this and everybody's doing great. But the reality is that they suck because everything is operating on very thin margins and everything else has been taken away. So all these so-called oligarchs, they don't really have anything. You know, it's all just, you know, it's what they've stolen and laundered it in ways of like real estate and all the other stuff, right? But essentially, yeah, you're right. They're going to lose all of that because now just being Russian almost kind of is a stigma. And once you have like big funds and you're Russian, boom, that's enough for them to investigate and scrutinize and take your stuff away or whatever, freeze assets and everything.
And Putin's doing this all just so he can get so he's trying to like one by one put the USSR back together. It seems like is there natural resources or anything he's going after in Ukraine, or is it literally just historical? He wants to put it back together.
Yeah, I think he's old and some people think he's sick or something and he knows he's going out. So
his legacy, like he wants to, before he dies or before he's out, he wants to do one.
Or it's
but
some
at the
kind
cost
of, like,
of, it's such a gigantic cost.
Yeah.
He didn't like, I mean, I was reading, I think it was Washington Post, and they said for all of the talk about how Russia's so good at cyber kind of manipulating and deep fakes and all that, they're really getting blown away in this. Like, no one is on their side. You know, yeah. Like they haven't convinced, for all the like convincing they and the troll farms and everything, the troll farms are not doing their job very well because no one's, I mean, sure, there's some super far left people and super
my
far right.
My dad's cousin's
people.
On their side, but
I was
going
to say, Joe
him.
Schaefer seems to be on their
some
side.
Some real commies are still on their side. They're real.
No, Joe Schaefer's not on their side, but there are people who are on the side of, I don't want people to go kill Joe Schaefer, but he does think that
he
we
sees
shouldn't
both
be
sides.
Involved. There's people who go, no, we shouldn't. This is not our business. Everyone
or it's our fault somehow.
Away.
They do the, which are somehow America's fault.
They say it's our fault.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But for the most part, no one believes that. And just to finish there. So Zelensky, the president, he sends out one video and he's a hero in the whole world. He's like, I'm not leaving. I'm staying here. You know what I mean? Like, he's winning the whole PR campaign.
And is that
here.
Are the people in the Ukraine, do they feel, because that's one of the things we're getting here in America is these images of Zelensky and it just everyone's he's getting such a positive review.
He's
so
an
speak,
American
like,
hero.
He's an American. Yeah, his leadership is getting, you know,
he just got passed at the Comedy Cellar.
They're definitely doing a movie about him at some point. Tom Cruise is playing him. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I love him, but he's a shit comic. But anyway.
So he's rebranding himself.
Listen, we switched to topics. I was going to say something about, anyway, okay, I'll just
the troll farms and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Let's pinpoint that. And I'll say something about Zelensky. The funny thing is everybody hated him like forever, you know,
like three weeks ago, everyone hated
him. He's like Rudy Giuliani with 9/11. Yeah. Everyone hated him and then 9/11 happened and he was a hero, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody, not even hated him, but just like, who the fuck are you? You know, it's just kind of like this. Yeah, you're not a president. You are a clown. You know, we trusted you, you know, you with your TV series and everything. You know, that's how we got elected. You know, we trusted you and you failed us. That's how they looked at him. And he did turn it around. And I must admit, he's a hero of mine, but not comedically, you know, just as a man.
He's still a hack comedian.
Yeah.
Those who can't do comedy.
Stand up.
Take over country.
I will show you clips of him playing fucking Napoleon in this horrible, horrible, horrible Russian movie. You know?
By the way, this is the real, I mean. This is why we started the podcast.
Yeah.
This is the heart of the show. We can break through all of, he's defending his country. Yes, he's a hero around the world, but he's a hack comic. This is why we get comedians on locally to tell us the real truth of what's going on.
All the avocados and all the like coconut chips and all the kind of vegan and like really hipster stuff. That stuff is untouched. Everything else, rice and all.
People
the,
haven't
like,
gotten
drink.
That desperate yet. Because yeah, exactly. Are those people have fled? You mean, or what do you mean by?
No. It's just what people buy in the stores. You know, all the kind of like fancy smoothie stuff just stands and nobody's touching it.
But you don't have you were mentioning us, I think you referred to it a little bit, but off air, how you don't have access to your money right now, right? Like, because they basically don't trust you as a Belarusian. So you.
Yeah. Not like there's much to spend at all, but I can't even like wire money or whatever, even donate to the army or anything. So whatever cash I have on hand now, not that, you know, in like wartime, you're not going to think like, oh, what am I going to make? You know, like.
You're not going out, obviously.
Fancy. Yeah, I'm just kind of eating whatever I have here. I have a big thing of rice, and I'm just making like fried rice, things like that. And, you know, I basically, honestly, even if I don't go anywhere for a week, I'll be fine. You just kind of...
We might send you, any of the listeners who have their magic spoon boxes still, we might have to take up donation campaign. I know my mom's got 6 boxes still. We'll just mail them to you in desperate times. It's a lovely cereal if you get desperate, but hopefully they'll turn. I mean, I expect if it's done on, we think it's going to be over this week, hopefully that maybe they'll.
Hey, I'm running out of weed. You know, I need it to that's be over important things. By Tuesday. Yeah. So on Tuesday, they need to at least start the transport or whatever. Cause I got to go see a dude.
Will you make a weed run? Is that like, have you made a list of the things you need to, you would leave the house for? Is it like a.
Yeah, exactly. It's just basically weed. It's all I'm missing. Everything else is fine.
Do you think, is there like a surge stand up? Yeah. Well, would there be surge pricing like with Uber when it gets really expensive? When there's like a rainstorm, is it like the weed guy will come to you, but he's going to charge you A little bit more for war zone.
Yeah. Well, seriously, the weed guy, when the war started, he was like, hey, he was very supportive. He sent like a very supportive message, like, long live Ukraine. We're taking a little break. You'll understand why if we're going to win.
he went out there?
I'm pretty sure, actually. One of my friends who deals in the city, he definitely, hey, weed smokers here. Ukrainians take their weed seriously. You know, it's a very, it's a national pride.
I think people here are like, I mean, Ukrainians, when this is all over, it's going to, I really feel like a lot of people had no idea, in America, at least I'm speaking just totally American centric, just had no concept of Ukraine as far as like now everyone's like, because everyone's been so against Russia going back, obviously, to 2016, the election, and everything here. Mm-hmm. Everyone is so universally on Ukraine's side that I think everyone's doing the, I think people are going to be going to Ukraine. This is going to be the new trendy hotspot in about two years. So you should buy some property up when this is all over and make a nice little.
As soon as they unblock my car.
And they unblock your thing. Yeah. And then, so we mentioned Belarus. Is he using this opportunity, Lukashenko, to rewrite the constitution today or something? I saw this headline.
Yeah. And that I do not understand. That's kind of a desperate attempt again to stay in power even longer. And this is some kind of weird thing. And I don't really understand. But I mean, the biggest choice that he's going to make is the decision to send the troops to Ukraine or not. Now, I know why Putin would pressure him to do so, right? Because he wants to get everybody dirty, right? And just kind of spread the responsibility, collective responsibility. So he wants to Lukashenko to be in on it. And Lukashenko has been trying to play both sides forever, right? So he plays like he's this Putin's best friend, but then he won't acknowledge Crimea as part of Russian Federation and all these other things, right? So, but now it's a very interesting time. I'm hoping this is the end of the both of them, but who knows how exactly it's going to play out.
Right, right. I think Turner, do we need to exit this to get Turner back in? I believe that how Zoom works. Because this, I think Turner is back, he says. So I guess we should leave this. Jared, are you there? What do we do with Twitch?
I was muted. I can put up a screen for a minute while we change over. The weird thing is it should usually put him right back in here.
He said in our
weird
private message group that he was going to send us a new link. I just saw that, but I don't know.
Okay, for sure. Yeah. Let him know to email us. I'll put up a screen and some music for just a moment and then we'll all come back in.
All right, we're back. We have bad news. Turner Sparks has, I guess, been either assassinated or compromised. I don't know if he's been poisoned the way those Russian, you know, how the face will blow up, that Ukrainian guy who's, I saw once, you know, that's what Putin does not mess around. We knew Turner was in Mexico. We should not have revealed that on a recent podcast. We should not have revealed his location. So this is the price of being the type of podcast we're doing. We are heroes. Come and get me, Putin. I'm in Long Island City, Queens.
Before, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah. So anyway, so hopefully Turner will jump back in. But yeah, like somebody said on the Twitch, it is amazing that you have better Wi-Fi in all seriousness in a war zone than apparently Turner has in he's in Mexico, though, in fairness. But yeah.
I think I was thinking about that. You know how in places like Belarus and Ukraine, you just get the updated stuff, right? So that's why, you know, it's funny worldwide, the whole trend of answering machines just didn't catch on, because by the time they got the technology, it was already like cellular phones or something more advanced.
Oh, you never had to like leave a stupid, make you create yourself a dumb answering machine message, try to be really clever and
never, you know, so we'd never caught on. And now, you know, it's easy to even have it on your cell phone and everything. Nobody uses that feature.
No.
And it's, yeah.
So you guys are more advanced then in many ways. Always.
Yeah, it's the silver lining, I guess.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's good to know. You, as long as you have Wi-Fi, even without Elon Musk's help, You can have a.
I'm gonna get on it. I've been meaning to try it because I feel like it's. I mean, I hope it works exactly how I envision it to work. That it's just another Wi-Fi, and it just says Starlink, and you just connect, and boom, anywhere you go.
You can't get canceled. You can say whatever you want there. It's the Wild West, right?
Well, it's not like a social network. I thought it was just...
No. I don't have any concept of what the internet even is. To me, it's like a series of tubes, as Senator Stevens once said. So I don't understand this. Are you in places where you won't have internet? You mentioned there's a bomb shelter in your building, or you just go to the ground floor? Earlier you were saying?
Yeah, it's like a parking garage next to the apartment complex. I've gone down there twice, but...
It's a good place to socialize with your neighbors, or if you don't.
Well, exactly. But I'm from Belarus, so I don't want to explain to everyone like I'm the good. I'm getting questions.
Yeah, we got a question from Papa Cringe.
Yeah.
He says, Misha, if you have Russian friends, what are they saying?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have a lot of Russian friends, and one of... different things. It's a cacophony of opinions. And if we just get the main, I mean, most of my friends, since I'm, a reasonable human being, most of them are against the war and they are against Putin. So we're on the same page. It's just that I understand them. They feel hesitant to sort of speak out because, listen, they've tried it in the past. It's just like I can't blame Belarusians because they are afraid, because every time you speak out, you just get the shit kicked out of you. And, in Russia, they rape in prisons. I don't know if you caught that story. Like, it's so widespread, you wouldn't believe it. Like, it's a normal practice just to rape people and do things like that. So you can see how that deters people from speaking out, but they're still speaking out. Some of them on the other side, just there was one comedian, not a friend of mine or anything, and but a sort of a comedian from Russian television, and he said something horrible, just wishing Ukrainians just horrible things and everything. And yeah, he got hell from everybody.
He was doing it seriously, like he wasn't.
Yeah, because listen, some people, the propaganda machine of Russia right now is more sophisticated than the, how do you say, the Goebbels? In Russia, it's Goebbels. So so
he
a
was
lot
the
of
original.
People,
I'm a Jew, but I mean, that guy was, he was the master.
Yeah, but I think Putin's propaganda machine even he kind of improved on that model. That's what I'm trying to say. And that infects people even in the 21st century.
Well, do people in Russians have like animosity naturally towards Ukrainians? Is that or
exactly? Yeah. Over the last 8 years, it's been cultivated, so they kind of dehumanize them and they've made them they basically just call them fascists, right? So everybody's just a fascist. And honestly, it influences you because I moved to Lviv in 2018, and Lviv is like the most vilified place by the Russian media, right? So that's where all the Nazis come from and everything. And then you go there and it's just normal people. Nobody's eating babies, like no pagan rituals or anything.
They tell you people are eating babies and that's a...
Yeah, and they do it. It's just as absurd as...
I mean, it's just fascinating that like Putin can co-opt the word it's like Antifa will be this like crazy organization in America and they just call themselves anti-fascist and then get away with like taking over a city and just causing mayhem. It's like Putin's like saw that and was like, I'll do you one better. I'm an actual dictator who's going to call myself anti-fascist now. It's amazing. And people, I mean, we should say, we had a comedian, a Russian comedian, Oleg Denisov on a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And we asked about talking about this with him a few weeks ago and I think he's hopefully in Germany now. I don't think he wants to speak, as a Russian, you're almost at being asked to speak for your country right now. And I don't think he wants to do that and to criticize, as you said, it's just people who are marching and I saw in St. Petersburg and some other places. And some people are like, oh, that's barely a march. There's only like a few hundred people, but those few hundred people are very brave because, the consequences of marching against Putin right now, I can't imagine
Yeah, one of my comedian friends who went to the protest, and he was protesting, and he was arrested. So yeah, most of my friends, they're speaking out, they're doing their part, they're getting arrested. There's another question from
Mac Dave says, were some people thinking the war would never reach Kiev, which I believe is how we kind of thought about it when we were talking before it went.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was going to be similar to 2014 when you hear there's a war going on, but it's just in Donbass and people in Kiev don't really, it doesn't affect them.
Right. Your life goes on as normal. And
yeah. So when I heard in the morning that the war has started, you're like, oh, okay. Then life goes on, but there's also a war. And that's why people were saying, hey, the war has been going on for the last 8 years. Right. Yeah. But also when, you started hearing things that just right on the outskirts of Kiev, and then some diversion groups were entering but that's why I don't understand. I don't know why they were doing this, because they would send like one tank into the city and just locals would just take it over, you know, just random, just dwellers, city dwellers just randomly take over a tank. So that's why these early signs, you're thinking like, man, what is going on there? Is it some kind of like weird maneuver? You know, they're sending the real shitty soldiers and then the real soldiers come in, or what is going on?
Yeah. But, and it's like, I mean, I think it was you, or I don't know if when we spoke to Anton, another Ukrainian comedian, we spoke, somebody I mentioned in the past to us that the idea that, you know, air assault is one thing, but to send in the amount of ground troops needed to go into these cities. And a lot of the Russian soldiers probably aren't that motivated. Maybe some of them believe the propaganda, but not all of them. A lot of them probably have Ukrainian friends. You're all speaking Russian. Everyone kind of looks alike. And you're shooting.
And they're exactly. And
psychologically, very difficult thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at the videos, if you look at the videos, when they talk to the Russian soldiers that have been taken captive, they say that they thought that it was just going to be training on the Belarusian border or Ukrainian border. But then they got ordered to go to Kiev or something like that. And then they took the order. So
they didn't even know they were going in.
Yeah, maybe that's just the narrative, but it feels like they've been cheated into this, into joining this war. And yeah, a lot of them are kids, or at least just people. You look at them and they do not look professional at all. You know, it looks like they're sending in
like 16-year-olds, or like how old are we talking? We said you're 18-year-olds, I guess.
Yeah, 19 or something. Yeah, well, a couple of the examples is basically, you know, how they have the draft. So you do the draft. So that's essentially a year and a half or 2 years of training, something like that. And then you can choose to continue and sign the contract. So the guy that I'm talking about, he's like 19 or 20 or something, you know. So he just finished the 2 year draft. Compulsory military training, right? And so he signed the contract, but it's essentially, you know, he's still a kid, you know.
Everyone in Russia gets drafted, and is it like a compulsory thing to fight? Or
I'm pretty sure, because in Belarus it's like that, but you can dodge the draft. Like I never served, but again, it's because I moved to the States.
I didn't know like such a big country to have that, because like Israel, we mentioned earlier, they're a small country, they have a draft, they're always fighting. But to have a big, that's just crazy to me to have that many people, and you're not going to get your best people, obviously, all fighting when you do it that way. So,
It's a terrible idea. I don't know.
We have a comment from Borb's mother. Shout out, one of our longtime listeners, says there is mostly the most dramatic imagery. Are businesses other than food open at all? Cash still good.
So last time I was out was yesterday, and I went to the market, was just to write out, it was still working. You could get some things, no more bread, but you could get some food, and things were open, but not like businesses. You couldn't go and get a coffee or something like that. So, and, big supermarkets would have a huge line outside. Cash works. ATM machines don't work. I think cards work in some places in the city, but not everywhere.
Not Russian money, though. Ukrainian money only.
Come on, dude. Yeah, obviously.
I mean, in America, if it's going to snow like 2 inches, the people storm the grocery stores, load up on toilet paper, hoard it all, milk. People panic. They're never going to have a glass of milk again. So I cannot imagine what it's like when you're actually being invaded and you're like, I don't know when I'm leaving the house again.
People are surprisingly calm. I mean, you can see people getting bags of groceries, but nothing out of the ordinary. So essentially they're getting prepared for a week, but nobody's right. thinking this is going to be another World War II or anything like that. So right. especially now.
You don't think we're getting World War III. That's your big... Because that's the worry.
Well, no. World War III, no. That I'm not saying. World War III we might be getting because that's exactly what I'm talking about. That Ukraine is doing too well. You know, it's like every movie, this is too good to be true. You know, this could be the scenario where they get their ass kicked and then, you know, they decide to take more drastic measures, you know.
That's what worries me. I was thinking about that with like if Ukrainians gets too much hype on, you know, in the media that they're doing so well, it could piss Putin off into like taking out not nukes but shorter nukes like the boast he can do.
They did paralyze them. It's good that the whole world turned against them, you know, including people that used to be Putin's friends, you know, like the president of Czech Republic, Hungarian president.
Orban?
He was like, no.
You've gone too far.
Yeah, you've gone too far. Same thing with the Czech guy. Same thing with even China is washing their hands off of this situation. Not to mention Erdogan. The Turkish guy.
I saw that.
When
you've lost Erdogan, they say, you know, you've lost Orban and Erdogan, you've lost the PR war, Putin.
Exactly.
Mac Dave is asking, is any Russian government propaganda being broadcasted in Ukraine? Like, can you still see like RT or any of those things? What they're saying.
Yeah,
just choose not to watch it.
Definitely, no. I definitely choose not to watch it, and probably everybody else in Ukraine. I'm just saying, if you actually wanted to, is it possible to find? Probably not.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What about Russian people in the Ukraine? Like, did they just flee? Or are they fighting? You know, what are they doing? Do you know any Russians actually who live in Kyiv? Or
yeah, but. Comedian friend.
I don't interrupt you, but look who's live.
I'm back.
Your face, everybody. For someone who just poisoned, your face looks pretty good. Not too puffy.
Did you tell him I'm in Mexico? Did you tell him all what's
we
going did. On?
We thought, earlier some of the listeners had seen your wife perhaps in the background crawling around and they thought she had been sent by Putin to assassinate you. And she finished you off.
The internet went down in the building, but we got it booted back up. Yeah, so
you got a great background there. You're like a
I don't know what happened. Anyway, keep going, Misha.
I forgot what I was talking about. Hey, did you know that Louis was going to perform here on the 25th? And
Louis
the 26th?
C.K. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to go. Yeah. It got canceled again. I was going to go last night. Didn't.
Oh, man.
And I had a show. I had a show in English, as my own stand-up show, and then I was gonna host that and then leave early and go see Louis with the Spanish dude from like Spanish TV and everything. Dude, I had such great plans for last night. None of that happened. It's ridiculous. I hate Putin. That's what I was saying, Turner. You didn't miss
anything.
So
we found someone worse than Louis C.K. It's Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin is worse. Yes.
For sure, man.
I don't know. There's portions of the left.
According to Twitter, they wouldn't say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Kaplan's uncle would disagree, but Kaplan's communist uncle.
Turner missed that Misha's running low on weed. He's going to have to leave the house soon to get some.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm hoping the war ends tomorrow because otherwise
he's going to have to brave it out. He's going to have to take it.
Yeah, I'm going to get like all geared up and everything. I'm going to
do a bulletproof vest or anything or just to.
No, but I do have a knife that I put in my boot and I have a bunch of things that I feel that make me feel like I'm ready. Does that make sense? But I'm such
you go stab a Russian soldier.
Your hat, you got a good ski hat for it. You look like it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm trying to look the part. Listen, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm essentially just trying to stay out of everybody's way and kind of.
What would make you leave to Poland? What would need to happen for you to go to Poland?
Just essentially a nuclear explosion or something. Why?
I hate to burst your bubble. I don't think you can outrun the nuclear explosion if it comes to that.
Exactly. So. But that's kind of a valid point, you know, because I mean, it might sound a bit too, but hear me out. You know, I don't want to live in the world where Russia just straight up comes in, because you don't just escape this one time. You know, you have to wake up the next day and live in the world. Right. Like me leaving Kiev is basically saying that, I suppose that this can happen, that Russia out of nowhere just takes over. And then what? You know, and then we live in the world where Russia has taken over Ukraine. What does that mean? You know, just so you're going to be way worse off. So I might as well die now in this war, you know, than live in the world where this kind of shit is happening.
Well, we hope you don't. But how would you compare? I really hope you don't die, Misha. We don't want.
Well,
you
exactly.
Die.
But listen, me not dying in this situation means that we're going, you know, and we're building a new free country, and things are like, I'm very much uplifted now, and lots of people are uplifted because we're kicking ass and we're changing the world. Because if this is the end of Putin, it means the whole world is again a better place. You know, we're
definitely
battling the evil empire. Again, you know, and it has to happen.
How would you compare, and so you can stop me if you've already asked this question while I was away, trying to get unpoisoned by my wife, but how would you compare, because you lived through a revolution in Belarus that ended up being not successful, essentially, mm-hmm. Lukashenko's still there, and now you're living through this. How would you compare one to the other? Meaning, I guess I would say, like, this one seems to, all the citizens have weapons and they're mm-hmm. fighting. In Belarus, I assume you probably didn't have access to weapons. Is that right?
Well, yeah. And essentially, we're babies. Belarusians didn't know how to do any of this shit, you know, and Ukrainians have gone through iterations. Right. Like they had their revolution in 2014 and before that in 20. So they have a bit of a background. They have more forces sort of acting there. Like even now, after having this experience, I'm definitely going to invest into like training and everything. There's no way, whatever happens in the future, I'm going to be the person who is ready, you know. And I've been like, I've told you about my journey of like living without alcohol and like physically getting in shape, but so I do like martial arts and all that shit, you know. But for the next, if that ever happens again in the future, you know, I'll be the guy who's ready and who is patrolling the situation. Like I know now how important it is to be ready. I want to be the person that people go to and like, all right, you know, what do we do in this situation? So this is also like sort of part of maturity. You're like, oh, this is what it means to be an adult. I got to grow the fuck up, you know? So just like, boom, you have one life. How do you want to live it? You know? And it just kind of like, whew, it's, you know, from that point of view, it's a great experience. Like shakes you up. You're like, gives you some meaning, you know? And you're like, what anxiety, what depression, get the fuck out of here. You know, we got to rebuild the whole fucking city, whole fucking country. You know, we got to go into Belarus and like you rebuild that and change it all completely, because Belarus is essentially not even in the market economy just yet. You know, like you still have to do a lot of things, man, still things to be done so that our, you know, children live in a better world. But there's so much potential. And we see so many countries that have gone that route and have been successful. If you look at the Baltic states, Czech Republic, Poland, you know, let's do something like that out of these places. You know, it's going to be amazing. And I don't understand how Russians don't see it. They could be part of the club. And no, they want to be part of this fucking medieval feudal gang of warlords with their, slaves that they just throw and they don't even care. You know, they just, I don't understand that.
Yeah. Well, from what I've read, the Russian people are not all supporting Putin with this. I think a lot of people are against it over there.
Well, I'm thinking it's rapidly changing as we speak. But if you said that a week ago, my answer would be way more people support him than you and I would reasonably. I messed up the whole sentence, but you know what I'm saying, right? There's just way too many people that I know that are just super reasonable, and but their views are asinine. And honestly, but it's almost like religious faith. But something clicks in their head. Like one of my best friends from Belarus, he just only when the revolution in Belarus happened, boom, something clicked in his head. But up to that point, he loved Russia. He loved Lukashenko, he didn't give a fuck. You know, he was just like, no, this is the right way. The Russian Orthodox Church, blah, 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 blah. He would just like have this cross over here. But then again, his father was, you know, he got it from his father. That's his upbringing and nothing could. But then once something changed, just like a religious belief, he just, whoo, and it disappears. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, you know. Humans.
Yeah. Well, you got to defend your country. You got to defend your homeland where you are and your new homeland. And the last thing I would say here is that, you know, I know there's a lot of people in New York worried about this. I've read that the Ukrainians, people are getting into bomb shelters. And the biggest problem with that, they say in New York, is that only 35% of people are vaccinated.
Yeah. So. And no one has the booster there, I've heard.
Yeah, they don't have the booster yet.
We're very worried about you.
It's a real tweet going around.
You've been in that bomb shelter. How crowded has it been when you've been down there?
Are you guys keeping 6 feet of distance down there?
I didn't want to go in because I was just... Honestly, I can't bring myself to go in there. Yeah, I don't want to sleep on the concrete. You know, call me.
And you don't want to get COVID. It's worse than the
worse. COVID's worse than a nuke.
No, listen. Yeah, that's the silver lining, right? The silver lining of the war is that it cures COVID. You know, there's no more COVID.
Yeah, no one's talking about it. You don't get updates on the numbers every day from your local politicians.
If they kill, like, if a nuke drops and a million people die, they'll say died with COVID.
With COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but those are some on the plus side, you know, COVID is gone. Hey, I learned to make bread. No, not really. I'm still learning, but hey.
That's very COVID activity, making quarantine.
Quarantine's
doing quarantine here, yeah.
I saw that I have flour at home, and I was like, dude, I'm going to start making bread. So I started researching how to make bread, and it hit me. Now I get, like, people are making fun of Jewish bread matzah, whatever, right?
Making fun of matzah.
People are making fun of that.
Because it has no taste or anything, you know.
Most people love matzah. I feel like Turner. Have you had matzah?
I don't think I've ever had it.
A lot of Gentiles I know love matzah. They eat it. They like it more.
Not
than
in Ukraine though.
Not in Ukraine. Yeah.
Well, no. Yeah. Because they like the fluffy and everything.
Well, the whole thing is you got to eat it. It doesn't take as long to make it. So that
exactly.
If you're on the run, it's useful in wartime. Yes.
Exactly.
That's what it was. It was wartime food for us, for the Egyptians.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't get out and make bread. I start making bread, but I don't have any yeast or anything. So I have to make unleavened bread. And
is matzah? Is that unleavened bread?
It's unleavened bread. We like to put a few drops of Christian blood in to make. No, never mind.
Oh, I think the Gentiles, we just call it unleavened bread. I didn't know that and matzah were the same thing. I've had unleavened bread before.
You call it unleavened bread. We're going to get unleavened bread today.
That's what we called it. A church. I think we've had it.
Oh, the church. Yeah. Well, matzah is, we'll send you some matzah then, Misha. I'm going to find it.
No, he can make it. He's making it.
Yeah. No.
The only thing he can make.
You should actually export it. That could be like a hipster, like war torn matzah. Misha's
Ukrainian matzah.
Misha's matzah business.
Send me CBD products.
We'll send you CBD
that you can't get. That's the only thing that you can get in Ukraine. So instead of the magic spoon.
Do you think you're going to stay in
a magic spoon?
Yeah, so we talked about that earlier because people,
Oh, good.
We might, I was going to send him
better sponsors. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we eat CBD.
All right. Well, I think that's it, guys.
Yeah. Can I say that my favorite comment, Turner, of anybody wondering what happened to you was Borb's mother, who said that your wife was mad you were meeting the Smiths for shuffleboard. So
on the Mexican vacation.
So on that note, you got to go play shuffleboard.
I got to go play shuffleboard. That is it. Misha, thank you for doing it. Please stay safe. Keep us updated. Follow Misha. Where's the best place for people to follow you to get updates?
Instagram at Misha Kalin Standup.
Okay. Misha underscore Kalin underscore Standup. Yeah. Okay. K-A-L-H-I-N. Everybody, thanks. That's it. Thank you, Misha, for doing it. God bless Ukraine. Prayers for Ukraine. Cap, what should we do?
I got to go deal with my own personal war zone, a Sunday with the kids. So on that note, I'm going to get lost.
Get lost.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.